All right, everyone, welcome to the Drive Podcast. You got Chris right here, got Zach right beside me, got Bailey, the producer, right behind me. We're ready to kick off another awesome episode. I think this is going to be episode number 3. Is that right?
It is.
All right.
It is episode
number
3.
Man, they're just filling the shelves, just podcast after podcast.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
We got Bailey a better mic.
We did. Bailey? How you doing over there, Bailey?
I'm good. Just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
You don't seem as excited about your new mic as I thought you would be.
No, I feel like I have to talk more.
Well, you don't. We don't want you to.
That was awesome. And mean and hilarious at the same time.
We don't want you to feel that way.
Oh, wow. We're getting started right off with the animosity today. It's that kind of day. It's a Friday afternoon. We're all kind of mentally ready to check out. It's been a crazy day today.
It's been a crazy week, I feel like. You know, we've been talking to some new potential drivers and
a bunch.
That has been crazy. We've had a few guys leave in Knoxville, so we're having to look to Knoxville. So
yeah,
it has been a busy week. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And I'm glad Bailey's in the room with a better mic. When she does decide to, you know, she's really the producer, so she's supposed to keep us in line.
And she does a pretty good job. But yeah, now we'll be able to hear her
right
loud and clear when we get out of line.
Yeah.
That's good.
I wanted to keep her at a distance, but you made me give her a better mic.
I didn't make you do anything. I'm in no position to make anybody here do anything.
You must be forgetting the Wayne Doris, between Wayne Doris and Bart Spain door affair of Tuesday afternoon.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
I'm just saying. I was strong-armed. I just want everybody to know I was strong-armed into giving Bailey a better mic.
So. Okay. Okay.
I was not there for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all of these decisions were made without me.
I was the only one there, quite frankly.
Okay. Well, for whatever reason, Bailey has a better mic. And we don't have a super set agenda for today, other than we've got a couple of very special guests coming up, and we're very excited about that. So we're not gonna ramble on too much today. But Bailey was telling us earlier about something that I thought I don't even have words for it right now.
Yeah.
Bailey, tell everybody what you told me about the spelling bee.
The National Spelling Bee ended last night, early this morning, with a tie for first place, but not just a tie, an 8-way tie for first place because they ran out of words.
They ran out of words.
How do you run out of words? That's what I want to know. We got to dig deeper into this and find out
And I also want to know, you said early this morning?
They said it went late into the night and into the wee hours of the morning. That's how intense this was.
So you had 8 people or 8 kids.
Kids.
That were smart children. Enough to be able to throw down and spell every word that they had, and they ran out of words.
Did somebody bring a dictionary? Because I've seen that sucker, and it's thick.
That's
and
crazy.
It would take us more than just a few hours to get through it.
But don't forget that a lot of those words are small words that are not National Spelling Bee worthy. A lot of the words that you use every day are not.
Oh, wow, what a burn. A lot of the words you use, Chris, in the day are.
I'd say about 99% of the words that I use in a day, nobody would need a dictionary for at all. They're pretty simple.
Wow.
That's incredible.
So did they all get trophies?
I don't know if they have 8 trophies on hand.
Because the National Spelling Bee trophy is quite the trophy.
I'm sure that they're all going to get it. I don't know.
They got participation trophies.
That doesn't count. Does it?
And in the picture, they're all trying to hold it at the same time. But so I don't know if they're all going
to
get the trophy.
They
pass it around like the Stanley Cup, like somebody gets to keep it.
For a week.
Yeah, and then, you know, you take it, I guess, well, they would take it to school. And
That's awful. So I mean, we were going to talk. We were going to talk about baseball and because it's, you know, the Little League. I think the Little League World Series is coming up.
Yeah.
But then the NCAA tournament is going on now. If you follow that kind of stuff, so I think the Field of 64 is set, and they're starting their games today, which is Friday. So by the time some of you guys listen to this, it'll be over with. But we were kind of talking about participation trophies, which is it's very interesting about the whole spelling bee thing. That, like, what are they going to do about that? They can't.
But they made it through 20 rounds, so that was the.
But has that ever happened before, Bailey? We need more.
I'm working on it. You can't just come to the table here,
bring up a controversial issue, and then not be able to close it out with some hardcore facts here.
I'm reading the New York Times.
I agree, but I don't think we can blame this one on Bailey.
Instead of splitting the $50,000 prize between all eight of them, they're all eight going to get $50,000.
Wow.
Wow. So those folks, those young people who are going to go on to do great things, who are very smart, who that 50 grand each, it probably that matters more to them than a silver cup, because that's going to go toward their college debt that I know they're going to – well, they'll probably get scholarships and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In 2017, there were 36 rounds after they got down to the last two spellers in the 17th round.
See, they need a contingency plan for stuff like this. So they need, if they run out of words, they need to have, like, other stuff.
Like, switch to math?
No, they need to, like, say, all right, from in that same vein, but make it more fun. Let's say, all right, from if we hit midnight, nobody gets to go to the bathroom after that.
Or do they switch to, now we're going to switch to sports information.
That would be fun. That would be fun. I tell you what, I'm interested in this participation trophy and baseball thing. You and I had a conversation about this, and I'd like to see where everybody weighs in. So why don't we take a break, and then we'll talk just for a few minutes about that before we get to our special guest.
I cool like it. You? I like it. It'll be interesting to see how everybody feels about participation trophies, because right. I know you and I are very. I don't know if we're on the same page about it. I don't know.
I think we're.
So don't tease us.
We're closer than you think.
We probably are. So you're all listening right. to The Drive with Zach and Chris and our incredible producer Bailey. Hang tight.
Hey M&W, this is Bart. Do you know about the Ally Health telemedicine? This is a benefit M&W offers where you can speak to a doctor on the phone without physically going to a doctor office and paying for an office visit. They can treat things such as cold, sinus, rashes, headaches, insect bites, skin inflammations, and more. It's only $2.50 a week, and it covers everyone in your household, and there is no limit to how many times you can call. Once you set up your account by entering your information for you and your family, then you select your pharmacy. There is an app that you can download, you can go through the steps, and even upload a picture, and a doctor will call you to discuss your symptoms. This is not associated with your medical insurance. The only time UMR insurance will come into play is if you get a prescription. And the doctor you're speaking with on the phone will send that prescription in for you. My family and I have used this 6 or 7 times and we love it. It has saved us hundreds of dollars by not having to go to an urgent care or walk-in clinic or see our primary care doctor. If you can eliminate one urgent care visit, this benefit is paid for itself for the entire year. You can enroll at any time. It will just not be effective until the first of each month. Please let me know if you're interested. You can also complete the enrollment form on your Paycom app.
And welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. And if you could all just see Chris dancing right now. It's in my peripheral.
Snappy little tune you got there.
Thank the Lord it's in my peripherals.
Well, and only, we can go video and and we could just have a dance-off. Maybe that's how we settle some of these arguments that you and I have.
We have a dance-off. It could work. It could definitely work.
You're going to get served.
That could definitely
You're
work.
You're going to get served.
For sure. So back to we finished up with Bailey dropping the bomb that 8 people won the National Spelling Bee, which is just awful.
Children. They're not people. They're children.
People. Children, people. And now that kind of brought us into do they have to share the trophy? Does everybody get a trophy? I will say this. I've watched a little bit of the National Spelling Bee. It is very difficult. And if 8 of those young people had they all tied and they had no more words left, then you know what? They all deserve $50,000 each, yeah. And that's a good thing. So
I would be out in like round two.
We talked. Yeah. Yeah. Spell this. So where are you on participation trophies? Bailey, did you grow up in you're younger than all of us. Did you get participation trophies? I mean,
I did when I was very little, when I was in the class where your mom and dad led you around.
Right.
And it wasn't even a trophy. It was everyone got like candy as you walked out of the arena.
Right, because you are we talked in the last episode, you're a national champion.
Correct.
So
there are no participation trophies in college.
Yeah. And I think that's my frustration with it. I am anti, let me just throw it down here. I cannot stand participation trophies.
Right. I'm with you. So I'm a baseball coach, and I have, we don't really do trophies at all as far as a team goes. Now, the league, you win a championship, and now we're getting into summer ball, and we'll be playing some real tournaments, and there are trophies for that. But I do give my players a ball, or you know, like a cool ball that has you know, our logo on it, you know, something like that. But it's more like a present. It's not a trophy. Hooray, you did.
That's
really
not
great.
A participation trophy. I think that's cool. That's meaningful.
So you're talking about a trophy, everybody, like a big gold trophy just for showing up.
Like when everyone plays the soccer game and walks out with a little trophy, even if it's just very small.
So it's driven me crazy this last, you know, I've got four kids. Three of them have played a myriad of sports. And it's like I've gotten into like text arguments or fights or anger issued parents at me because it's like they're like, let's get a trophy for the kids. Like I'm against participation trophies, even if they're coming from the league. But it's like a lot of the leagues have stopped even doing that.
Yeah.
And so it's like the parents all group together and are like, oh, well, and I'm like, no, I'm not pitching in on that. No. Like, I'm not going to give my kid a trophy because he played a sport, you know. And that, in baseball, like, both of my sons have been blessed to play on some really good teams, and they have both won the league championship. You know, in Little League, in Pee Wee. And they get a big trophy for that. Great. Or they got second or third. Great. You get a second place or a third place trophy. I'm fine with that. But then even when they won the championship, they still got like another little trophy.
Right.
Like because and it's like I think a lot of times we kind of joke. I know I've joked in settings about participation trophies. They're literally getting a participation trophy. Hey, you won the championship. Here's a participation trophy as well.
Yeah, that's no good. I'm okay with that if for a 4-year-old. I'm not completely against that because they don't know what they're doing anyway. You're not going to get any value out of holding that bag.
Did you get one?
Maybe that's where all this is coming from. Is your harbored bitterness from 4 years old when you didn't get a trophy?
Yeah, the baby.
Maybe you ought to see somebody and talk to somebody.
Maybe I should. I went on and won real trophies, though, in my life.
I know. You're
real trophies.
You're a winner, Zach.
Thank you.
You're a winner, Zach.
I'm smart enough.
You're good enough.
I'm good enough.
Doggone it.
And some people like me. I wouldn't go as far to say everyone likes me.
I wouldn't go that far either.
Just some people like
me. Yeah, some people like you. I like you.
Thank you, Chris.
You know what? I am. Hey, let's talk about this. We don't have a lot of time. But into that, we're talking about summer baseball, soccer, travel ball of whatever kind for kids. And
are you against it?
I'm not against it, but man, it's hit my world big time as a coach because I have seen now, after so much time, I've seen small kids who have had baseball their entire childhood, and that's all they did was baseball. And all their time and all their parents' money spent rolling dice that they're going to be something in baseball one day, and and those chances are very slim. And I'm not against travel ball. Although I think you probably shouldn't start until you're maybe 9 or 10 years
That's
old.
My thing. You know, I coached high school football, and I had some players who I went on trips with to like Division I schools that mm-hmm. could have played Division I football. I had an offensive lineman who was fantastic, and by the time he got to high school, when it mattered, you know, when potentially scholarship money's rolling in
yeah.
for mom and dad, he was burned out.
Yep.
You know, and luckily for him, he was an incredible student, very, very smart, and he was going to get into school no matter what because of his intelligence. But the fact of the matter is that he was burned out, and he didn't get to have that opportunity. Now, it's to be a Division I athlete like Bailey, you know, even an equestrian, I know there's a ton of commitment in that.
Yeah.
And so, but what an experience. Like, Bailey, would you want to give up? Like, I mean, I know you've been riding horses forever, but, like, if you would have been pushed and pushed and pushed so hard that, like, you were burned out by the time you got to college and you would have missed out, can you imagine missing out on your...
Oh, I was burnt out by the time I got to college.
So you were?
I was.
Would you trade it?
No.
Do you think you would have been happy losing the experience?
There were a lot of moments during, so I was like, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, but I did it.
How do you feel about it now that you're away from it?
I don't miss it.
You probably don't miss it, but do you think you missed, like, if you wouldn't have done it altogether? Do you think you would have had remorse about that?
Probably not.
It's interesting. It's an interesting take.
Yeah, I mean,
and not to speak for you, Bailey, but you're still young. I wonder what you'll feel like when you're 30, like when you're in your 30s and 40s, like when you really look back on it.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, she's still got a ways to go.
Yeah, it's just such a roll of the dice, trading away your childhood for a shot. But here's the catch 22. All those players in the bigs all started when they were 4 and 5 years old, and all they ever did, it was baseball. So what a horrible position to be in, to have to look at your son or your daughter at 5 or 6 years old and say, you know, we got to make the call now whether we're going to take a run at this
thing. I think it certainly helps your chances. But there are stories. We hear about them every year, especially in the NCAA tournament, the basketball tournament, where there's a guy who's never played ball. And, you know, he's from Africa or, you know.
I think if
you're trying to look into a crystal ball for your kid and you want him to be a special athlete, chances are you got to play early. Now, there's a few unbelievable kids out there, the Tebows of the world, you know, anybody that's in the NBA or NFL who could have probably played late and would have been fine because they just had.
I don't mind playing early. It's playing constantly. And sinking a ton of time and money into it when they could have just, you know, been playing and riding bikes with the kids in their neighborhood.
Yeah, then you certainly miss out on that. And then my son, one of my kids, has been, and he made a travel soccer team, and I'm not overly excited about it. He's 8 years old, and, you know, he's good, but I just, you know, we'll see.
Yeah,
we're gonna play in the sandbox this year, and see.
It's a different world too. That's a different brand of parents in the stands too.
My thing is that. Church is very important to me, and having my kids at church and me being at church on Sundays is important, and so many of these travel events take place on Sundays, and I'm just, you know, they have sold us on the deal that it's going to be post-church.
Lies.
You think so?
You're.
I kind of agree. I think I said
all travel teams expect you to be, this is your life.
Yeah.
In my experience, I think there's
some good ones out there. We'll see, but I think everybody else that I've seen, especially the older you get, especially when you get into middle school and high school,
you're in at that point.
You're not doing anything else. So
awesome. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we're gonna take one more break, and then we're gonna get right into our special guest, and it's gonna be a lot of fun, and. About time you heard from somebody outside the M&W walls, but still absolutely got a bunch of influence here at M&W. Hang tight through this break, and we'll be right back with a special guest on The Drive.
Hello, I'm Jeff Olson. with M&W Transportation, driver of Truck 536, and you're listening to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right, welcome back, and joining me now is a very good friend of M&W, our sales rep with Pilot Flying J, Jason Holland.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason was in today just kind of touching base with us on some different things that we're looking at for a maintenance program with Pilot Flying J coming up. So I thought, hey, let's get him in the studio and have a little bit of chat with him and see what's going on with Pilot Flying J and make sure that our drivers are getting everything they can out of the program with Pilot Flying J. So, what you know, obviously we fuel with you guys, Jason, here on the yard,
yes,
at the shop,
sure.
And our drivers are very disciplined about fueling at you know at Pilot Flying J across the country.
Yes,
like
sure.
They're very good about doing that. So, what are on top of fueling, which we do a very good job of, what are some of the things that drivers sometimes miss out on, you know, with at the locations around the country?
Yeah, so we actually have a lot of driver-based programs. Again, Pilot Flying J and M&W have been a long-standing partner in regards to fueling and fueling at our locations for diesel fuel, DEF, and different things along those lines. But I think there's a really great opportunity right now to talk about what we do for the M&W driver. Of course, we have our My Reward points program where every single gallon of diesel that is bought by an M&W driver, we then in turn give a 1 point per gallon to your driver. A point is equal to a penny. So
yeah.
For easy math, you get 100 gallons, you get 100 points, which is a dollar.
Yeah.
Which is really cool about the point system is that that point can be used for anything other than cigarettes, alcohol, and petroleum-based products, such as gasoline or diesel.
Right.
Anything else that we have in the store, including parking, your points can be used for.
That's
so,
awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for guys that are on the road to be able to take advantage of getting free just to fuel.
And I believe that the points, when a driver fuels at the shop, they're still earning Pilot points.
They are.
And so they can use those. So it's you can't get a hot dog at the shop. Unfortunately, sorry
not
about
yet.
That.
We're working on that. We're going to try to put a hot dog griller in the M&W shop.
Can't
lettuce.
Get any little Debbies, but you can use. They can fuel at the shop, which we love that our guys and gals do. But then they can redeem those points when they're at a Pilot out in the world.
You
as
got
I say.
It. Any Pilot or Flying J across the country, including Canada, if you happen to go into the great country of Canada.
Yeah, we don't traipse up there often, but that's good to know too.
Yeah.
So what would you say are some of the other things? Obviously, drivers are going in, the pilots, they're getting food, they're doing other things. Some of our folks are probably utilizing the parking options. What are some of the other things that pilots doing for the drivers these days?
Well, everything, just like technology as a whole and across any business that you do anything with today, everything we're doing now is being pushed toward an app-based application where everything we do from a communication standpoint, we're trying to push everybody to that app. And the reason for that is we're able to do a lot of great things within the app that we may not be able to do in the store directly for that individual. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Within the app, first and foremost, which this was actually something that we were pretty surprised about when we rolled out the ability that a driver can get in line for a shower directly from his app while he's in the fueling process.
Oh, wow.
So why does that even sound like a big deal? Well, you take a Wednesday night in Dallas, Texas, that's going to be backed up and there's going to be trucks everywhere and there's going to be a really long wait for a shower. So now a driver can get to the fuel lane, turn off his truck, get out, start the fueling process, pull up his app, hit a button and get in line for the shower. Now, he may not be ready to go into that take a shower for 30, 45 minutes, but he's still in line to take that shower, so he's not losing time while he's fueling. He actually can go ahead, and that has actually increased our shower usage by almost 38%, which is a byproduct. We just thought it'd be a nice little feature, and that's been one of the biggest shining stars of our app. You mentioned a second ago, you can reserve parking directly from the app,
mm-hmm.
which
right.
is
yeah.
a another great opportunity for a driver to try to save time to in his trip planning. He'll be able to know exactly where he's going to shut down, guarantee himself a spot for 23 hours. It's another great feature of the app. one that we think really has it's gained some momentum. We think there's still a lot more opportunity to use is the cardless fueling within the app. So guys don't even have to swipe their card anymore. They actually can turn around and go through that process of fueling as they would at the pump while they're waiting in line.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so just a quick overview of how that looks. So a driver pulls into Dallas, Texas again. He pulls in. Obviously, there's trucks everywhere. He's sitting still. He can open up our app. Now, he can't open up our app while he's moving. It's obviously based from a security standpoint.
Sure, absolutely.
And safety standpoint. We don't want him driving on the road looking at his app. But right. Once he gets to the lot and is in a stopped position, he then will be able to pull up the app, click the fuel button. And number one, it's going to tell him based on what's going to ping his phone, so we'll know where he's at. And we'll be able to give him a rough estimate of which lane will open up based on how long the person in front of them has been fueling. So if you've got 12 lanes at the Dallas Flying J, you'll have a educated guess of which lane is going to open up first. So again, try to speed him.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
try to get all on the app.
All on the app.
Yeah.
So within that, then the next process is he's going to then walk through everything that he normally would walk through as if he was standing at the pump. Whatever M&W requires their drivers to put in at the pump is the same thing he will input directly onto his phone while he's sitting there waiting. Again, trying to find ways to get more time, to be more efficient. Sure. And then once he goes through that process, he can say he's getting DEF, he's getting a cash phase. Whatever that they normally would do, a driver would do at the pump, he's now going to do on his app while he sits and waits to get fuel. That's done. He pulls into the lane. Turns off the truck, hops out. There's a six-digit code that'll be on his phone. All he has to do is type that six-digit number into the pump, and he's instantly ready to go.
That's awesome.
So, again,
yeah, cool.
It's quick. It's efficient. It eliminates card skimming, which is fraud is always a consistent battle that we deal with. And so it, not only does it do that, but for a driver's situation, if it's the middle of winter in Fargo, it's pretty doggone cold. So if he can limit how much time he's out there fueling, if I can give him another 5 or 6 minutes that he is able to put that information into his phone opposed to the pump, again, if it's 110 degrees in South Louisiana in the middle of August, again, there's ancillary benefits that come.
Absolutely.
And so we highly recommend, guys, if you don't have the app, go get it. It's free. Apple products, Android-based products. It's free. Go use it. You tie your number into it. Every single day we put new discounts out there on products that you buy. We do free stuff all the time.
Does it keep track of their points?
It does. Well? It is basically, let's just say, like a mobile wallet. So it tells you any given moment, you want to know how many points you have, it'll pull up in there. You also can get your fuel receipts directly in from there. Like we talked about getting in line for a shower, you can reserve your parking from there. You can do a cardless fuel transaction from there. There's a ton of stuff that we do in that app that if you're not using it, guys, go out and get it. Like I said, it's free. We'll give you all type of stuff free through that app. If you drink Mountain Dews, give or take, give it a week or two, you're going to start getting buy one, get one free option for Mountain Dew. There's always kind of products that we're putting out there and trying to push to the drivers to make their life easier, better, faster, and make life on the road as easy as possible.
Well, we appreciate that. You certainly have been. Pilot has been a great partner of ours. And Jason, I know a lot of you guys and gals don't know a lot of the behind-the-scenes things and meeting some of the people that take care of us on a day-to-day basis. But Jason certainly does that on a lot of different levels. So real quick, parking is a big deal. Now, we've got about half and half of our fleet is over the road and our local drivers. So sure. Our local drivers are obviously not battling anything to do with parking. What are some of the things that Pilot is doing, though, for the other half of our fleet that does have to deal with that sometimes? What is Pilot Flying J doing to help with some of the parking issues that are going on?
Sure.
Because it's a big issue out there.
Absolutely. Parking is probably number one, if not really close to the number one issues that drivers face every single day. The long and short of it is there's not enough parking in this country for the amount of trucks out on the road at any given day. No matter how you look at it, how you slice it or dice it, the math just doesn't work.
Right.
We have more parking spots than our nearest two competitors combined. We've got over 80,000 parking spots within our network. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of space. It's a lot of money invested in a free service that we offer. Truck stops have always been offering free parking and don't ever see that changing. The problem that we run into is that, like I said, there's not too many. There's more trucks than there are actual parking spots. So what we've done is we've created a program called Prime Parking. Now, Prime Parking does cost money. I'll tell you right up front, there is a fee associated with it. That said, it does eliminate a lot of headaches for drivers that need or want to know exactly when they get ready to shut down, they will have a guaranteed parking spot. Flip side is what we've found is drivers are able to typically to get around an hour, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, extra driving time for their over-the-road drivers, because right now, a lot of times, they will still have time left on their clock, but they shut down early to try to get a parking
spot. Because, they know that they've got to this is my last option.
You so got it. Take it. That or they know they're about to hit again Dallas, Texas at 5:30 on a Wednesday night, and it's packed everywhere. So Prime Parking, it's about, give or take, 7% of our parking spots across the country. So again, what that means is 93% of our parking spots, guys, are still absolutely free and will remain free. So we're not saying that you have to pay to park with Pilot. Absolutely not. That said, if you do want to guarantee yourself a spot, there's a small fee, and that ranges anywhere between $12, I think, all the way up to $18, depending on the market. And that's for 23 hours. So basically, it starts at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and that spot is yours all the way around to 3 p.m. the next day. Now, there's an hour gap, and what we do that hour gap is to make sure the spot's clean and ready to go for the next customer. But for between $12 to $18, depending where you're at the country, you can guarantee yourself a
and
spot.
And you can use your points for that, like we talked about.
Absolutely can.
Yeah.
And honestly, that is where most we see a lot, I say most, a large majority of the points get spent at our locations revolve around parking. Again, if you can turn around and get yourself an extra hour on your clock of drive time, putting those extra miles onto your paycheck, obviously works good for the driver, obviously works good for the company because they're getting more miles and creating more revenue. There's absolutely an equation where it makes sense. So again, 93% guys is still free. So if you hear somebody saying, well, you got to pay to park at Pilot, it's not necessarily the case. If you want to guarantee yourself a spot in our Prime Parking program, yes, there is a fee. Again, you can use your points, but still 93% free. But, Zach, unfortunately, at the end of the day, parking will consistently and continue to be a problem.
Well, that's awesome news, and I want to touch base with a little bit more, but I want to take a quick break. Jason Holland joins me from Pilot Flying J. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, M&W drivers. This is Bart. Well, the month of June is here, which means 401k open enrollment. So now is the time for you to enroll if you are not currently enrolled, or to change your contribution if you are enrolled. Eligibility is always the next enrollment period after 1 year of service. So for this period, it's anyone who was hired between January 2nd and June 30th of 2018. You are now eligible. You can visit tsrretire.com to register your account if you are enrolling for the first time. Or if you're a current participant, you can use this site to change your contribution amount. These changes in enrollments will be effective July 1st. If you have any questions or need any help, you can contact me at any time.
Welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach, and we have a very special guest in here today. We were just finishing up talking kind of about parking, which is a very big deal. Jason Holland with Pilot Flying J joins me in the studios, in the flesh. He came by to say hi today, but we were talking about parking, and it is such a big issue, and you kind of had wrapped that up, but obviously there's free parking at truck stops,
yes,
right? And that's the thing that I think people need to understand. Obviously, if you want to have a guaranteed spot later in the day, you're gonna have to reserve that. About how many spots are available at the different Pilot J's all over? I'm sure it ranges, but what on average would you say is the average amount of spaces are available?
Yeah, so typically, and you said it right, Zach, depending on how many parking spots is how we're going to build a percentage of spots. And then not only the size of the parking, we also look at the market. If we know there's a specific market, and I keep picking on Dallas, so we'll stay on Dallas. Dallas is a massive market for trucking. So even if we have a smaller lot than normal, we'll actually, in those markets where it's very heavy and in demand, we'll actually increase that. Conversely, if you have a location that may be, we'll pick on Hurricane Mills, Tennessee, between Jackson, Tennessee and Nashville. It's a really big parking lot, but there's not as much demand in that specific area because Hurricane Mills is kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So we may have a bigger parking lot, but we may have a smaller number of prime parking or spots to reserve just because it's not as high in demand. So really, Zach, if you had to put a number on it, I would say somewhere in that, give or take, 4 to 5%
of the entire parking lot.
Of the entire parking lot.
And that makes sense. I mean, I think that's important to say because I think I could see some drivers being like, I'm not going to pay for parking. I'm never going to do that. I don't deal with it that often. And they show up and there's no parking. And then there's like 6 open spots over here available for the pay to park deal.
Sure.
That's probably frustrating. But you're doing that based on – obviously you're doing that based on the numbers of knowing how many of those spots are going to sell out.
That's exactly right. And something that I didn't mention and I should have is we also prorate those spots, meaning that if you roll into a location and it's 11 o'clock at night, that spot is only going to be available till 3 p.m. the next day. Well, actually, the price will decrease based on the number of times.
Yeah.
So if you need somewhere, you just need to get yourself 4 or 5 hours or whatever the number may be, and it's later in the evening, again, you're going to have a prorated rate. And I do want to say again, these are guaranteed spots. Everything else is still free and first come, first serve.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And you know, like I've said, I mean, I've heard it. I've read from the trades, parking is a big deal. Hopefully, I haven't heard a lot of it from our drivers, but I'm sure it's out there. But guys and gals, if it is an issue, come talk to us. We'd love to bring that up on the app as a whole. If a driver's having trouble gaining access or figuring it out, is there a way for they can reach out to Pilot Flying J, or should they come to us? How should the driver, if they're not seeing some of the benefits that you talked about, the great benefits of that app, what are some of the ways that they can have help with it?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, within the app there's a help button, and that's going to give you a 1-800 number that's manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It takes you into our call center. And 99% of the time, they'll be able to troubleshoot right then and there. And it's usually something in a setting or something on those lines. So pretty easy. Feel free to check with, if you're at a location, talk with the people there at the store. Can't guarantee they're going to be as knowledgeable maybe as our helpline people, because that's what they're trained to do.
Right,
but,
right.
Again, they're another option there. So first and foremost, call the 1-800 number, and they typically can get everything squared away for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the app is only as good as people that use it.
Well, hopefully some of our drivers are listening to this podcast now, and Jason will be back around down the road. So if you've got questions that you'd like to have answered, you know, send them in. You can tweet at us. You can Facebook us. You can come by Chris or my office and ask those questions. So as we wrap this up, we're coming into the heat of the season. Driver appreciation is coming up. You've talked about the app and some of the giveaways that happen. But what is Pilot Flying J doing for the drivers throughout the year? They do move America. We couldn't survive without the American truck driver and all the things that they do for us. So what does Pilot Flying J do to try to give back to them in a way?
Sure. So again, as we're talking about the app, we're going to send out every single day. We're going to have a new program. A new offer is exactly what they're called. They're called My Offers, and you'll have every single day whoever uses the app will get an offer. Typically, it's a buy one, get one free or something along that line. And then coming up in September, Driver Appreciation Month, it has not been completely decided exactly what we're going to do. Sometimes we do double points across the board. Sometimes we do big point giveaways. But I do know we'll be giving stuff free every single day during Driver Appreciation Month in September. And directly through the app. So again, I can't stress enough, guys, if you don't have it, go get it. It's free. You won't take up a lot of room on your phone. It's a very, very small app. Take advantage of the free stuff that we're doing through there. We appreciate every single driver that uses our location. We obviously appreciate our longstanding partnership with M&W and M&W drivers, but we understand that the only way that we're in business is American truck driver.
Sure.
The only way that our customers are in business is the driver. Everything revolves around the driver. Every decision that we make at the store level, has the driver in mind? Does it make his life easier, quicker, more enjoyable? Does it service and take care of a need? That's how everything and every decision we make has to be based upon. Because ultimately, guys, at the end of the day, none of us have a job.
Yeah.
And not only do we not have a job, guys, we don't have a country.
Yeah.
And without the American truck driver.
We're certainly in the same boat. And a few years ago, Jason was able to round us up the mugs.
Absolutely.
I think where the guys can get a discounted refill on coffee and other things. So we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Did that for us for driver appreciation. We've been able to give those out over the last couple of years. So, Jason, thank you for joining me, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, Jason Holland again with Pilot Flying J, stopping in, talking to us here on the Drive Podcast with Zach and Chris. So we'll be right back right after these messages.
Drivers, do you need to earn a quick 1,000 bucks? Refer a driver today. We are always in need of over-the-road drivers out of all of our locations. There's no cap on how many drivers you can recruit, and we spend money on advertising, but we'd really rather put that money in your pocket. And remember, always send those drivers to drivemw.com, where they can apply and learn more about M&W. Let's put that $1,000 in your pocket today.
All right, welcome back to the Drive Podcast with Zach Pugh and Chris Woody. And joining me right now is our esteemed HR professional. Been here a long time. We all know him. We all love him. He goes by Barton Spain. Bart, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling me esteemed.
Yeah, you're incredible.
I'll leave my $5 on the table.
I don't know that we could survive without you.
Well, you know, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we love you. We love you. Well, you're in here today talking over a few things with us, and one of the main things is healthcare costs. You know, I know whenever we talk to drivers out there, whenever we're recruiting drivers or whatever, it's a big deal. How much it's going to cost to pay for insurance. So you're here today with some tips on how we can better use our money and our funds and have better options for choices for healthcare.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, there is a choice, especially as we've gotten in these last probably 10 years, there's been more options that have popped up. So I was going to kind of just run down from cheapest to most expensive.
Cool.
So, I mean, the first level is your telemedicine, right? That's something that's brand new. Just over the last 4 or 5 years, that's really taken off. We here at M&W, there's actually two options we have. One is a service from Ally Health, which costs $2.50 a week. And then our insurance through UMR has its own program called TeleDoc, where it's actually $45 per call. So a little bit different examples. Now, the Ally Health, you can call as many times as you want. Simply $2.50 a week covers everybody in your household. It is not associated with your insurance. However, the TeleDoc, which runs through UMR, is associated through your insurance, all right? And it's just for that individual. So, but that's gonna be your cheapest, okay? Next is always your primary care doctor is your go-to, all right? That's where you're getting your physicals, your immunizations, your checkups. Maybe you have something that's ailing you that's not critical that you can schedule that appointment. He's your go-to. Right, your primary care is always your go-to, if at all possible. Okay, the next level, you're getting into your Minute Clinics, your Walgreens clinics, your Kroger, your CVS pharmacy. Some of those have clinics inside. A little bit more expensive just because they there are their own demand, but you want to use these when your personal doctor is not available. Okay, maybe it's 9 o'clock at night. Your kid has pink eye. You can also use your telemedicine for that.
Yeah, too. I mean, that's why
I've used it twice, twice just for pink eye. Wow. Saved me a ton of money. I can't talk about Ally Health enough. It's been phenomenal for our family. But if you didn't have that, you know, if you didn't have that service, you weren't signed up for it, then you're, you know, these are the options you're talking about. So then next, you're moving into your urgent care, all right? So that's your Concentras, your Care Nows. The last time I used Care Now, I think it was $135 for that office visit. Okay. Now, not only, because there's a discount that goes into that too, so not only are you as a individual paying $125, our health insurance is also getting hit as well, right, which makes our utilization go up, which makes our rates go up each year. But these are situations such as sprains, strains, when you broke your foot
playing golf course.
Yep. Yeah. Zach calls me and says, hey, where do I need to go? I was like, well, Care Spot's going to be your best shot right now. But
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, plan on paying $125.
I appreciate that.
You know, maybe minor burns, minor infections, okay, things that are not life-threatening, but at the moment, I really got to see somebody. I really got to take care of this. But, you know that, you know, there is going to be a cost associated. And then finally, the absolute, it's got to be an emergency. You got to be close to death with chest pains, bleeding that won't stop, trouble breathing, severe head injury, you know, poisoning.
Your appendicitis, exactly.
Like, see,
about to burst.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's when you go to the ER.
Yeah.
Okay. No other time, because man, the ER is so expensive. If you're on a high deductible plan, I mean, you can pretty much plan on paying $1,500 to $2,000 easy, and that's probably just to get in the door. That won't even count seeing an ER doctor if they actually do any treatments. If you know, so it absolutely needs to be critical. And then, like I said, also too, you got to think about. Every time you use that insurance card, that's money coming out of your pocket, and that's money coming out of the insurance plan as well, right? So that utilization keeps going up. And there's a claims ratio that an insurance company looks at every year. They want it at a certain level. So the more we use our insurance, the more it's going to go up. And everybody knows how expensive our insurance is. So ER is absolutely critical that it is what it is,
yeah,
an emergency.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing. I know that it's expensive to go to the doctor. We all know that, and it can be very, very difficult, you know, to pay some of the premiums that we've had to pay. But we do know that, you know, it is a good thing that we have a lot of different options.
Yes.
And the Teladoc thing is just – It's just such a huge.
It's been phenomenal, and just for me, and but I have talked to others who have had very success with it. But I've used. My wife had a rash. That she took a picture of it. You know, got uploaded. Doctor calls. Ordered a cream. Done. I had a sinus infection where I got amoxicillin and a steroid for my cough. Done. Those prescriptions cost me, I think, $10 each, and no office visit. So I mean, my cold was cured in 3 days for $20.
So I mean, is there – you pay the $2.50 a week fee, and then is there a fee when you call in?
No.
Is there like a – because I think there's been some misconceptions about that. Like, you may have to pay for the prescription you get.
Right.
But the actual fee to call in and do the deal and have a conversation with the nurse, there's not a fee for that,
no,
is there?
No, there's not. But I want to stress again, we have two right now, so somebody can get confused with that.
Yes.
There's Ally Health – all right, that money you signed up for, it's coming out of your check. You look at Paycom, you can see it says Ally Health, $2.50 a week. Okay, that one, there is no additional fee.
Okay.
Okay. The other one doesn't come out of your check. It's part of your insurance called Teladoc.
Yes.
All right, we all got the card in the mail that they mailed out to everybody. That one is not a premium-based. It is a per-call fee.
Base, and it's what?
$45.
$45.
If you're on the high deductible, $25 if you're on the PPO.
Okay.
So two separate ones.
Yeah.
So if you call Teladoc and get billed, but you're paying for Ally Health, don't come complaining to me.
Yeah, exactly.
That you got it confused.
So, yeah, I mean, so one of those is just a benefit that the other, that our insurance provider is providing, and the other one is a paid every week.
Personally?
Is it a wash? Does it come out to be a wash?
Let me say this. Personally, for me speaking, I do not even register for the Teladoc. The one that's a part of our insurance. Don't even want to do with it. I stay with Ally Health for two reasons. One, it's unlimited calls, $2.50 a week, pretty cheap. And then it does not have anything to do with our insurance, which means our claims ratio and my utilization stays down.
Yeah, which with the Teladoc, it would go against us.
Yes.
Even though it's a better, it's still a better option than going to the ER.
Yes, it is that.
But it still would kind of go against us a little bit. So, well, that's a lot of great information talking about all the different options that we have for your health insurance stuff. Of course, you guys are welcome to come in anytime and talk to Bart. Bailey's probably a little proficient on some of this stuff. So you can come and talk to those guys. How is the best way for the drivers to reach you, Bart?
Well, I mean, they can call me anytime. I'm extension 227. If you got my cell phone, you're welcome to call that anytime as well, or just pop in my office when you're here at the yard.
Cool. Again, just trying to give you guys as many options as we can to make things go as smoothly as we can. Man, thanks for joining me.
I enjoyed it.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll come back and do it again.
All right, 10-4. Well, hey, you've been listening to The Drive Podcast with Zach Pugh and Chris Woody and Bailey, our producer. We want to thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time here on The Drive.